Praise the Lord, you can be seated. Wow. Isn't it a great day? What a great day to be alive, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in this kind of a world. It's a beautiful world that our God has made. And get this, this is phase two. This is the one that got cursed. We're coming to a phase three real soon, kids. This is going to be a great, great time. That's what we're being primed for, what we're being prepared for, a coming time. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm glad to be here myself this morning. It's a fun time. We're going to be at Matthew 25, looking at 14 to 30, so if you'd like to open your Bibles there, we're going to look at some things that are true. You know, I've had opportunity as I've considered ministry over the years and the things that we're after. And I'm wondering, what's the ideal person? What are we trying to get to when we have our teaching? What's the ideal person? And I realized the ideal person is not a preacher. Preachers, that's their calling. That's what they're supposed to do. That's their gift in life. That's what they're supposed to use. Missionaries, that's their calling in life. That's the gift they're supposed to use. But what about people who work? That's their calling, and that's the gift they're supposed to use. You follow where I'm at? Rather than trying to make everybody over into the image of a preacher, let's just face this. You are called by God to the job you have been given. You have been gifted for it. You have been qualified for it. You have everything you need to carry that out just as Jesus would do it if he was doing your job. Never belittle what you have as, well, secular work, and you're not doing the spiritual work. There is no secular and spiritual world. There's one world. It is God's world. And in that world, you're called on to live just like Jesus would live in everything that you do. It doesn't matter whether that is being a wife and or a husband. That's a role. You're supposed to live that role out as Jesus would live it out. You follow what I'm saying? Everything we do is spiritual. Everything. Don't divide it out. Your work is important to God. As a matter of fact, you're held accountable for your work. And he's going to reward you for doing it faithfully. Your work is important to God. And I'm going to try to show you that as we work our way through Matthew 25 this morning. Let's just make sure we understand this. Every believer in Christ, has at least these four things that they do. They're supposed to live. You say, well, that happens just because my heart's beating and my body's working. No. I mean to live. Christ came to give us life and give it more abundantly. We're supposed to be a people who take a look at the gifts and talents we have been given and say, wow, I've been given that. This is exciting. I'm going to use that for the Lord Jesus Christ and to do it fully and completely. By faith. We're a people who live by faith. So to live. Secondly, to love. We've been called on to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. So you've been called on to live and to love. But I can also say this, because our minds are not like his, because our thoughts are not like his, because our ways are not like his, we have a life that is devoted to learning. To learning what he's about, to learning who he is, to learn what his will is. So we're here to live, to love, to learn. And finally, it's to leave a witness of what actually happens in the life of a person who's had a transformed life. What is it like when God comes to live in a person and that person gives themselves over wholeheartedly to what he's doing? So you're here for those, at least those four purposes, to love or to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a witness of who God is in this world. And I tell you, if you're faithful at that, regardless of what you think your calling in life is, you will be a faithful servant and have the same kind of answer that the Lord gave here. But I know that we're all engaged as believers here, as we've tried to put it, we're to work with God's Spirit in transforming lives. We're not satisfied with just a normal life. We want a life that's been transformed by God. And we want other people to have that too, because the gospel is a blessing. The gospel is a whole new way of looking at life. The gospel is your salvation. It is putting you back the way that you were made in the beginning. It's putting you back the way God intended. We're a whole new people. the gospel. Transforming lives, and then to have the privilege to build community together. One of the things that's important to me is to have a relationship with the people with whom I'm speaking. It's harder for me sometimes to speak to strangers. Do you know that? It's hard to speak to strangers because I don't have a relationship with them. In other words, I don't know what they know. I don't know what they don't know. I don't know how to speak to what addresses them. We spoke, the first place we had in India this time was a tribal village. It was exciting when we got there. We got there and they're all dressed in these beautiful, very modest Indian clothes. I never have figured out how the women can stay so clean all day long in a place that is so dusty and dirty. It's just beyond me. But they stay this immaculate clean with these vibrant colors and everything. The first thing they did was have us take off our shoes and have our feet washed. Anointed us with oil. Whoa, that hadn't happened to me before. Then as we got our socks back on again, they had us walk through a line of young ladies who were doing some sort of dance, I think it was. I'm not altogether sure. I'm not much of a dancer. You may have noticed that. But anyway, they were moving along, and we moved very slowly in there while they sang. And then they escorted us to there, and once again, you take your shoes off, and you make sure that you're... at first I thought, well, they do that because this is holy ground. No, they do that because the ground outside ain't. But the whole way, as I looked at them, I thought, I don't know their language. I don't know how to talk to them. I don't know what they know. I don't know what they know, don't know. There's several languages in India. There's Hindi that's the national language, but there's Nepali that's in that whole northern section. But there's not only Nepali, there's Bengali that's in that whole section there. And then we were talking to a tribe called the Santillo tribe, and they have their own dialect. And may I say, I don't know any of those. So it was difficult to be able to speak with them without knowing those. I was grateful for a mediator, a translator, if you would, who, like the Holy Spirit to us, took God's word and makes it real to us. You follow what I'm saying? That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit takes these words that we don't get and translates them so that we do. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. But I realized I don't know who these people are, so my goal is to try to build a relationship with the people I get to talk to. Talk with them, find out what's going on, and that way it's easier for me to have that conversation with them. Well, here today, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So if you'd consider with me, here's some presuppositions. Stewards in the king's world. We're all stewards in the king's world. And that's the first thing I want to see is Matthew 25, 14 to 30. This is our Father's world, and we are his servants. But before you get to thinking of yourself as self-sufficient, listen, being free is a wonderful thing. Having freedom to be at liberty in this country is a wonderful thing. But don't let freedom fool you. You're never free. That is, you're never unobligated. When you come into this world, you're already under a servitude to a usurper of this world, the adversary Satan himself. You're under servitude to him. According to Ephesians chapter 2, all of us have been walking according to the power of the prince of the air. We've been doing his stuff for him. Or, if you're born again, you're a servant of the living God. You're always going to be a servant. Everybody follow that? You're going to be serving somebody. We are not free to be our own agents. This is our Father's world. He made it. He made you. And this is his world. You'll always be a servant in his world. Number two, as servants, we are stewards of all that's his. We don't own anything here. We don't even own our own life. That life is a gift from God. I think anybody who's ever watched a child born in this world knows that life is a gift from God. And as a gift from God, everything that you have is a stewardship to you. You're taking care of someone else's stuff. Now, he's delighted to let you use it and to have a wonderful time with it, but you're not going to keep it. It belongs to him. So you're called on to be a steward. Letter C. His world is to be a successful world. When he makes this world, when he ends it, he has made the whole thing fruitful. Remember that? I love Genesis chapter 1 because that tells me the beginning. It tells me what he had in mind. What was his presupposition? When he makes this thing, every plant that he made has its own seed in it. It's fruitful. It's to be carrying out more fruitfulness. Every fish, everything that he created in those waters was filled with fruitfulness. It was to be fruitful. Every bird that he put in the air was to be fruitful and multiply. Every animal that walked on this surface would be fruitful and multiply. And wouldn't you know it, he brings people on the world. What does he say? Be fruitful and multiply. God's a fruitful God, and he intended his world to be a continuing world. Why would he have the fruit and vegetables go ahead and multiply themselves? Remember what he's given everything to eat? Everything that's going to eat anything on this planet's eating vegetation. How long would it take us to eat all the vegetation if it didn't reproduce? But it does. It's an amazing thing to me. I don't know, even in India, watching ground that's been walked on and all kinds of stuff, it still has life in it. That ground still pops up all kinds of weeds, all kinds of trees, all kinds of stuff, because the ground has been commanded to bring forth fruit. Follow that? Yeah, the things don't stay bare. Because God commanded that ground, you bring fruit. And it does. It's got to. That's why your garden, you're going to put something on top of it. You're going to mulch it down or something because you want your tomatoes to do well. You want everything else to do well because you know if you don't put the mulch down there, what's going to happen? The ground is commanded to bring forth, and it will. It'll bring stuff that you don't necessarily want, okay? So he planned for his world to be a successful world, and he planned for the people working in it to be successful people. You follow where I'm at? I know I ask that a lot, but I just want to make sure, kind of go like this from time to time so I don't know. We're not a demonstrative people. If you ever feel like you want to shout out amen, please tap the person next to you and say, get ready, I'm about to say amen. Okay, because it might scare them right out of their gourd. Okay, here we go. Letter D. Our mission is to be faithful to his world. That's what we're calling to be, is faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4 says. And we are to be faithful people in this world. So his world is to be a successful world. We're able to be faithful to what his principles are in that. Letter E, he gives to people what he wants them to have to be successful in his world. Now, to this, I want you to turn with me to this Matthew 25, 14. Look what it says here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, why is he doing that? Listen, these servants were living with his goods all the time. I want you to get the picture. They're not just sitting waiting in line to see what's the master going to do next. They are always taking care of his goods. Okay, they're taking care of his home. They're cooking his meals. They're doing everything. They're gardening. They're doing everything. All of that's already being done all the time. But he's getting ready to go on a journey. He's going to go away, and he's leaving them to take care of all the stuff. They're going to have their normal jobs, and he's giving them some money, and that's what these talents amount to. He's giving them some ways in which they can keep prospering that and keep it all going all the time. Okay? So here's what he did. They were already his slaves doing his work. These talents are in addition to their normal responsibilities. They were to make his world more prosperous. Okay? So they were to take whatever he had and make it more prosperous. That is what God's called us to do. He's called on us to take care of this earth. India is a vast land. There are a lot of people living there. And there's a whole lot of rural area in the portions of India we were in. I know when you see India, a lot of times you'll think of slums and that sort of thing, but there's a whole lot of rural area there too, where lots of rice is grown, and then you come out of the rice and you come into tea gardens, just miles and miles of tea gardens, okay? It's a beautiful place. But we were on a train ride, and when you go on the train rides, vendors come on the train at different stops. And when they come on the train, they'll have a tub tied to them there that's got roasted peanuts, for instance. Okay? Another one will come on and he's saying, chai coffee, chai coffee, chai coffee. He's got coffee and tea there. And they'll get that there. And then they have this, I don't know exactly what the mix, we call it trail mix for, I didn't understand the Nepali word, so I just call it trail mix. But it's got something like puffed rice in it, and then it's got also green peppers. And I don't mean little sweet green peppers. I mean, they look like green beans, but don't think they're green beans. They will set your soul afire, friend. And there's the green beans, then there's the purple onions, and then there's spices, and then there's all kinds of things. And this guy comes on with this can like this. He's got all these cans in a little circle around him. He just dips all this stuff in there, and he stirs it all around, and there's a little this can here, and you don't ask questions. You just say, this is going to be good. I know it. He's got some oil he dips in there. And then he takes out a newspaper. You don't ask questions. You don't want to know, where'd that newspaper come from? What? So he wraps up into a little cone shape, and he dumps the stuff out of this into there, see? And then you eat the stuff. It is great. It is good food. And I believe that as long as you eat by faith, nothing happens to you. Amen? But the minute you go into doubt, he is condemned who doubts himself. You understand what I'm saying? So you just eat this stuff, and it's delightful. Okay? It really is good. Now you're here with a paper. What do you do with the paper? If you're an American, what do you do with the paper? There are no trash cans on the train. It just goes down. Next guy comes on, and he's bringing you beans. And these are very nice beans, and it's all, and he makes them real good for you, and you take the beans, you eat them, and he's in a little styrofoam container. What do you do with a styrofoam container when you're done? Go down. Guy comes on with tea, and he's got a little styrofoam container there. Okay, so it's not long until you're kind of saying, wow, this is kind of messy here. So one of the guys picks up a bunch of that stuff, throws it out the window. I'm going, what? Lady Bird Johnson taught us, we don't do that. You don't litter. You understand what I'm saying? I said, what did you do? He said, what do you mean? Why'd you throw that out? Because we're free. I said, free? How do you figure that? What's that got to do with it? Aren't you responsible? He said, no, we're free. We don't have to worry about that here. It's all wilderness out here. We just throw it all out there. I said, look, it's wilderness now. But I promise you, you keep doing this, several billion of you in this country, you're going to have this really messy after a while. He didn't get it. He didn't get it. You understand what I'm saying? He was not being a good steward of the world. But I can remember when we weren't either. Remember when we used to throw stuff out of the car just because we didn't want it in the car? And a mindset's changed in us now that has us doing things differently. And we have a little better stewardship of what we're doing. Okay, that's what we mean by stewardship. Now, if you would, go on and look at this. We're here to make this world a prosperous world. If we keep messing it up, it can't keep on reproducing for us. Everybody follow that? You have to create a land and keep it in such a way that it can keep reproducing for you. Whether that's on your own property or it's around. We got to make sure we're taking care of it enough that it keep on reproducing for us in order that's where we get our whole living. All right. Going on further. Number two, there is not equality in distribution of talents and gifts. Okay, there's not equality in it. So if you're thinking of God has to be a just God and he has to give equally to everybody, that is not what God does. Notice this in verse 15. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability, immediately went out on a journey. Now, look, let me get the picture here. God doesn't equally distribute to everybody the same thing. We're all gifted differently. And some people are gifted wonderfully. They got these marvelous gifts, okay? Got these wonderful gifts they make use of. And you know many of them. You've seen them yourself. You may know your own self. God's not equal in his distribution. When we say that all men are created equal, we don't mean that all men have equally the same things. They don't. That isn't the way God does it. He gives according to what he wants to give, all right? When we say that all men are created equal, we mean they all have, number three, an equality in the expectation of the stewardship. There's an equality in the expectation of the stewardship. A steward is expected to be fruitful with what he is given. Okay? With what he's given. I'm not required to be faithful about what Billy Graham was given. That was Billy Graham. I'm not required to be faithful what John MacArthur was given. I'm required to be faithful to what I was given. My name isn't Spurgeon. It's just old Doug. And I have to be responsible for what was given to Doug and to live that out, just as you have to be responsible for what was given to you. You know that you have to be fruitful for what's been given to you. You have to be faithful in what you're doing, and God will make you fruitful as you are faithful in it. Okay. Letter F. Each steward is accountable to the king personally and only for what he has been given. When he's given out these goods, these guys are not dumb. They know that he's given them out. He's coming back, and he's wanting to know, what did you do with what I gave you? They're going to be accountable. And they're accountable for what he's given them. Everybody see what I'm at? So consider carefully. He is trusting each of these. Now, it says that he gave according to their own ability. Now, that means that this man had a working knowledge of his servants already. He knew what they were capable of. He knew what they were doing. He knew what their ability was. And he gave them according to that ability. He gave them what he wanted, but he gave them according to that ability. So if you're looking around saying, you know, I don't feel like I'm a very talented person, you know, may I suggest that you get skilled in what you're doing. Get good at what you're doing, okay? Because there may be a reason why you have not received a whole lot. He's calling on us to be faithful in everything we do. You can change that. You understand what I'm saying? You can change that. As we're going to see, one man determined not to change it. Now, let's go on in letter G then. Each steward is expected to be wise and successful in his use of the king's goods. You're expected to be wise and successful. You're supposed to look it over and say, now, wait a minute, I've been given all of this. I've been given this amount of property here. I've been given this kind of a home. How should I use my home? That's where the gospel comes in, isn't it? For the gospel is what changes us inside that gives us new motivation. The gospel is what changes inside and says, okay, I'm here to love God with my whole heart, my body, my soul, everything. I'm also here to love my neighbors, myself. I'm here to serve. I am a servant. How can I use my home to glorify God in that way? By glorifying God, we mean simply that I'm doing what God told me to do. Look, the whole earth is full of his glory. You follow that? How is the whole earth full of his glory? Because everything on the earth is doing what he told it to do. The bare ground. Now, I can see the ground out here where we've had crops before. Now it's all mowed off now. I know it's not going to stay that way. I know that the ground has been commanded to bring forth stuff, and it's going to, and that's going to glorify God because it's bringing forth stuff. Because the ground was commanded to do it, that's what it's doing. The animals are going to have more animals. Why? That glorifies God. That's what they're commanded to do, and they're doing it. We have been commanded to take care of this earth, to do business, to be successful, to be faithful, to be good stewards, and that glorifies God when you are. You understand, when you are bringing your family to a knowledge of God, when you're leading your family, you're teaching your family, you're guiding your family, you're glorifying God because that's what God commanded us to do. This is not a big challenge to us. This is just common sense. This is what he's called us to do. And you're glorifying God when you do, all right? Now, having said those things, let's go on then to the next portion. Go to the next page, if you would. The responsible stewards in the king's absence. Look, as he's given this stuff out, they know what is expected of them, and they know their master. They know what's expected of them. They know their master. One of the wisest things you can do is admit, I'm a servant of God. I'm not my own. I am a servant of God. And as a servant of God, I'm called on to serve my Father. I'm called on to serve the other people. That's what I'm about. I'm here to help and improve the life of other people. I'm here to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that's the thing that's going to improve their life more than anything else. I know the gospel of Jesus Christ will change them inside out. And from the inside out, that's something no one can do but God. Give them the gospel. Because we want them to be spiritually free. Right now, we know that they're bound in spiritual oppression. But when we give them the gospel, we're setting those people free. Okay? Now, once they're spiritually free, there may be a few other things they'll have to work on. You ever notice that? When we were saved, I didn't start looking like Jesus. No, there were habits in my life that needed changing. Just as there are habits in your life that need changing. And the whole process known as progressive sanctification is where we're changing day in and day out. And we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. We're called on to help our brothers and sisters become more and more like Jesus Christ. And where we find them bound, to set them free. Where we find them having difficulty, we show them how to get past the difficulty. We learn how to overcome obstacles. Okay? More about that later. They do have differing abilities. Each of us has differing abilities. He gave us according to our abilities. Each of us have differing abilities. But I tell you this, each of us can be faithful with what we've been given. Each of us can work diligently with what we've been given. There will never be an excuse straight across the board for stewards being lazy. It's just not there. We're called on to be faithful and diligent stewards. Going further with you. They do not know how long the master will be away, but they do know they are responsible until he returns. So let's pick up here on verse 16, and let's look what happens with these guys. These are responsible guys. So verse 16 says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. How long did he wait? Anyway, because he doesn't know how long it's going to be. The master didn't say, let's not be back Tuesday afternoon at 3. Because he wanted them to be diligent, to be busy all the time. So this guy goes out and he starts trading with the talents that he has. That means he starts doing some business. That doesn't tell us whether he had losses along the way or whatever else. It tells us that he was busy trading. It doesn't look like he went out right away and just made 5 talents and then sat down and waited for the king to come back. It's going to take you a while to take 5 talents and turn them into 5 talents. You follow what I'm saying? It's going to take you time. And he's going to work over time. He doesn't know when he's coming back. He just knows that he is. And that he's responsible to get that work done now. Get with the program. So he goes with it. So does the guy with 2. But pick up with me here in verse 18. But he who had received 1 went out, dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, look, I don't know what his motivation was. Was he upset because he only had 1? Was he envious because the other guys got more? He's going to tell us himself that it was because he had a bad attitude about the master himself. But what did he think was going to take place with it? If he actually knew the master was going to hold him accountable, what do you suppose he thought was going to happen when he buried it? He says you're going to get your talent back again. How much do you suppose this man is going to miss in his life because he chose to bury it? You see, if he's got to do something with his time. If he didn't go trade it, he went and buried it right away, then there must be something he's going to do with his time. So what did he do? He did what he wanted to do. He lost all sight that he was accountable. Friends, let me say, that's what the term the fear of the Lord means. The fear of the Lord means you know that you're going to be held accountable for everything you say, do, or think. That though the king hasn't told you when he's coming back, he is coming back. And you know you're going to be responsible. You know you're going to give an account to him. So be about the business. What do we want to waste time for? What if he comes back sooner than you thought? Or what if your life ends before that? I've wondered at times, what would have happened if this guy died before the king came back? Now he doesn't even get his talent back because it's been buried someplace. Okay, going on with me, I want you to think a few other things here. They all have choices. They all have choices. If you want to talk about having free will. Here's your free will. You have a choice. He gave you something to work with, and you're going to make a choice. Will you use it? Will you not use it? Look, let me say this. You're not having a choice about whether you want to be his servant or not. And it doesn't matter which servant you are, whether you're serving Satan or you're serving God. You don't have a choice about that one. You follow me? You have determined to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't decide whether or not you're going to be a servant or not. You are. Now, you have a choice about how you use your stewardship, and there's your free will. And this man made a bad choice. He chose to do things his own way. He chose to discount what the master had given. As a matter of fact, he's saying, that's all your business. We'll see that in just a few moments when we come to this accountability. Character counts. Character counts. We all have choices. What determines how you'll do those choices? What determines that for you? You see, it's character that does that. It's integrity. It's integrity that says, I know I'm responsible for this, and I'm going to get with the program. I'm going to do this now. It doesn't matter whether all your friends are saying, look, let's just go out and have a good time. What do you say? Come on. You look at it and say, I can do that when the time comes. But for right now, I've got this task I've got to be done, and I'm tasking. I'm going for this thing. Now remember, I'm going to remind you again, we have these responsibilities. We're to love God with our whole heart, with whole mind, whole soul, everything about us, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's something that's been given to you. How you carry that out is one of your talents that's been given to you. Let me go on further. Letter E, making the best of your stewardship. Here's some counsel and advice. We should follow guys that got 5 and 2 because they got intentional about it. So first thing, get intentional about your responsibility. They recognized what their responsibility was. They got intentional about it. They didn't waste time. They got started with the process. So get intentional. If you've been one of those people who's been saying, I'm going to wait until I've got a little more time in my hand, then I'm going to start serving God, may I say, you just wasted a whole bunch of time. Time to get intentional now. Get about the business now. You say, well, I've already lost time. I feel regret now. Okay. Get past the regret. Get over regret. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and say, but I do have now. I can go now. And I'm going to be intentional from this point in my life until it ends or he comes back. Because I know now I am responsible for it. Letter number two then, don't waste time. Time is not your own either. Time is a gift from God, and may I say, that's one thing you don't get back. Everybody follow that? You can lose money and get some of it back. But I'm going to tell you, when you lose time, it's gone. There's no way to make some more of that. You only got 24/7. And I'd like to encourage you to this. Sometime just for the fun of it. Chart for a week. How are you spending your time? Doing a 15-minute intervals. You say, what did I do here? And if you sat down and you said, well, I'm going to sit down and watch this TV show. Record when you actually got up. Okay? It started out as just an hour. But it's, yeah, maybe I stopped. I should stop meddling, huh? And it winds up being 4. You follow what I'm saying? Or you were just going to get on Facebook for a few minutes and check in. And then you look and say, 2 hours? How did 2 hours leave you? It can't be. Something wrong with my watch. You're not going to get that time back. It's gone. You follow me? So chart your time for a week. How am I spending my time? And ask yourself, I'm being held accountable for that time. What would he say about my time? All right? Next. Number 3. Your work is important to the master. Look at this, guys. He's going to come back and ask a question, and their work was important. He's not kidding with them about this. I'm giving you these talents. I'm leaving, but I will be back. Got it. They're going to know that our work's important. And may I say this? I don't care whether you are a housewife keeping your house up, you're a homeschooler teaching your kids, You're a dad that's got to be responsible, or you're working as a contractor. Whatever it is, may I say, let the gospel motivate you to be doing what you're doing, but know that your work is important. You have just as high a calling as any missionary does in the world. You're called on to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're given time to do it in. You're given gifts and talents to do it in. Your work is important. Don't think of it as less than that, all right? Number four, your work contributes to the overall good of the master's wealth. I think the more I study the world, the more I realize that it's the glory of God when all the systems are working together. He looked at all those systems and he said, this is very good. They're all working just like they're supposed to work. Every part of that whole ecology of that world was working as it's supposed to work. And it was glorifying God. Your work contributes to the overall work of this community. That's why I look around and I think, you know, I really do want the businesses here, the legitimate good ones, to be successful. What happens when the businesses around this church here are no longer successful? What happens if the rotation of businesses here happens on a six-month basis, a yearly basis? I remember what was in there, and it's a different business all the time. What does it say about the general community? There's something wrong here. Is it because lack of security? Is it because those businesses have people coming in stealing from them all the time? I was talking to the people over at the Dollar General over here. They do have people, they say, you can't come in the store anymore. Why? Because you're robbing me blind. You come in the store, you steal stuff all the time. What does that do for a community? Now, when all the business fail, what happens to all the houses around? What happens to all the people who live in those houses all around? You see what I'm saying? Making a successful community is important to us all. Because everything contributes to the overall, not just one thing. It's not just your income. That contributes to the overall well-being of the whole community. Going on further. Your work is not in comparison to someone else. It's for the master that you work. He's not saying you should compare yourself to the guy with five. Look, forget the guy with five. If you've got two, get about the business. If you've got one, get about the business. Forget about comparing yourself to somebody else. That's not even the way he's going to judge it. Number six, it takes time to increase the materials you have been given. So be steady. Be steady. Don't give up. It takes time to increase the materials you've been given. Be steady. Number seven, you must begin with the end already in mind. When you are starting, you say, look, I know that I'm supposed to end this thing. I'm supposed to be successful at the end of it. What am I doing? I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm planning to use these materials to do this. I'm planning for my house to be this. I'm planning for the way our family operates to be like this. That's what we're looking for. I know this, when we have that, you'll work more for it. How many of you ever have saved for a vacation? Anybody here ever saved up for a vacation? Anybody ever planned out a vacation? Yeah, okay. Isn't there an excitement and enthusiasm that goes with it? When you're thinking about the vacation that you have in mind, and that's way out here, and you begin now to start saving, you figure out about what it's going to cost you, start saving for it all the time. Boy, isn't it exciting when you see yourself getting closer to that amount? Or you start gathering brochures for everything that happens in that place, or you start thinking over what that's going to be like when you get there. And I'll just use vacation as one of those things, because if you've ever bothered to plan something out, you know how valuable that is, especially as you're, because it makes you focused. It keeps you where you need to be going, okay? Number eight, you will give an account to the master someday. I think every believer in Jesus Christ needs to remember this. We are all going to answer at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's going to be for the way you conducted your life. No, your sin's paid for. Okay, got it? This is not a question whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. Sin has been paid for. You've trusted Jesus Christ. Your sin debt is over. But now, Because you have trusted in Christ, you were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You were given the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You were fully equipped, says Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, fully equipped for everything for life and godliness. You have been given everything you need, including the Spirit of God, the promises of God, the Son of God, the Word of God. You've been given all of that so that you could be completely successful. In other words, it's kind of like you wanted to be a woodworker, and somebody came along and set you up with all the woodworking tools you would ever need in your whole life. And you walked out of the woodworking shop and said, no, I think I'd rather do it myself. I like my pocket knife. And start using your pocket knife. Do you understand that the owner who gave you the tools and the shop is going to ask you one day, what did you do with the tools I gave you? Let's see the stuff I gave you. How will you answer? You follow what I'm at? That's what's happening, guys. You have been fully gifted with everything you need. And now to walk outside and use your pocket knife is an offense. Now, you're still in this kingdom. You didn't get lost. But how much loss are you going to go through for the things you could have developed if you'd used the time that was given to you to do what God called you to do? Number 9. There is great benefit and reward working for the master. He rewards faithfulness and character. Oh, look at this. Go with me now. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. They knew it was coming. They weren't dumb. They knew he was coming back. He's back. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are pretty good words coming from God, aren't they? Good and faithful. Whew. There's some character involved with that. There's some faithfulness involved. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay, so there's great benefit and reward coming from this thing. Number 22 says, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And he says, well, that's pretty good. 5 is better than 2. No, what did he say? Same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things and make you rule over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. Get the picture. He's not comparing you to somebody else. He's saying, did you use what I gave you? And if you did, hallelujah. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. You'll rule over a few things, make you rule over more. You don't have to worry about whether you did as much as somebody else. What you have to be concerned about, am I using what God gave me? Okay. Now, of course, servant, the last one. Then he had received the 1 talent, verse 24 says, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Wow. He also says, his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at my coming, and I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's also loss for laziness. Okay? There's loss for laziness. Gang, look. I am wanting to do everything I can to help all of us understand how to do God's will at the thing we have been given to do. You're not required to be what somebody else is. You're required to use your talents, your gifts, your skills for the master. That means you're going to take an assessment. What have I been given? What has God given me that I need to be using? What am I not using that's been given to me? And listen, once you get started, you have no idea how far that's going to go. I found that once you get started on a cycle, brand new things open to you all the time, and you find yourself with new responsibilities you didn't know you had before, and new profit you didn't know was coming before, and new things you can do, and new people to serve, and a service that went on far greater than you ever imagined. But you can't do it till you start. And you got to be about the business. All right? Praise team, have a final song for us today. Praise the Lord. We want to have opportunity to sing together, and as the praise team is coming to give us that last song together today, let's have a word of prayer, and let's just commit ourselves to the living God, shall we? Father, we thank you because you have gifted us. We don't want to be ignorant or act ignorant. We know full well that you have something for every one of us to do. We ask that you would just motivate us through our understanding of who you are and what you're doing, that we might do things pleasing in your sight. We want to hear you say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. We know you're coming back, and we know you're coming back with a whole brand new world. We know you're coming back, Father, to have a good world, one filled with righteousness, one filled with your glory. We repent right now of not using our gifts and talents and not really thinking over very carefully what it is we're supposed to do. We ask in Jesus' name that you would grant to us grace right now, that today might be the beginning of something brand new for us, a new stewardship, a new faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in each of us in Jesus' name and for his sake.